seated. Glory. God is great. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all forgive me this evening. I got to get me some new glasses so I can see what's going on. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Shall stand by his side. Glory. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up, messed up now. It was then, I find out. Amen. But praise God to know the truth and the revelation. And I gather a bunch of guys on Tuesday, and you have to sit and listen and pray for them, because you don't want to. You just love them. Amen. There's a time and opportunity to have patience. Thank God for this message. He got me here. I can't explain how I got here. Permissive will, I guess, is the best way to explain it. But I am so thankful. For that reason, I want to live the way he wants me to live. Amen. Let's all stand. I want Ever true. Amen. Amen. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of strength, help us cope in this world where every roam, the word of God will guide us. Word of God ever true. Jesus. Have come with open hearts.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Be flat. Be flat. Amen. You can stay. You don't have to. Amen. Well, happy tax day to everybody. As Descartes, the philosopher, said, "I think, therefore I am." They asked a college student one time, and he said, "I pay taxes, therefore I am." You don't think you matter? Don't pay your taxes and find out. They like to know who you are, and they like their money. But thank the Lord that we're in Christ Jesus, therefore we are. We live and move and have our being in Him. Amen. So we just go through the things of life and have to live and go through these things. But praise God, when we leave here one of these days, won't be no taxes. There won't be no thing called the IRS. Praise the Lord. Tax laws will be all done away with. the former things will be done away with. We don't have to worry about that no more. So we're looking forward to that great day, along with all the other things, Mondays and all the other things we have to deal with. But praise the Lord, we're looking forward to it, just pressing the battle and looking forward to it. Just expecting it to take place any day now. Amen. I want to sing this song. I was thinking about this earlier today, and I got thinking about Brother Dick. And I always remember Brother Dick sitting over here playing the guitar every time I sang this song. He seemed to like it.
There is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on the table, and nobody's turned away. There is laughter and singing as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field.
Let's change that to C.
Push away from the table, look out through the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain, and it's white under harvest, but the reapers, where are they? In the house, oh, can't the children hear the Father sadly say, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. You know, God called us to be a light and to go forth. And Jesus said that he could see the fields are white unto harvest. And who are the laborers? Amen. To go into the field and work? And, you know, that's part of our job as Christians, to show the light and to go look for those that are lost and dying. And sometimes, you know, we think, how do we present this message to people? And it's not so much about what we do, or what we say, rather, it's what we do. Because, you know, Brother Bram said, live me a sermon. And so it's not what we say about people, but it's what we present to people. Do people see Jesus Christ in us? And that's my prayer. Is no one wants to work every day. You get up every day, the devil fights you. But you know, God wants us to be a shining example to the people, to the world. And that's our goal. And you know, that's our commission, to go preach the gospel, and not just to talk about it. Because I want somebody to see, if they see me, I want them to see something different about me. Not just somebody that, you know, talks about something different. But if they can't see a life, if they don't see something different, then you know it's all in vain. Amen. But if you have your Bibles tonight, we'll go to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13. They already got it pulled up, so amen. We're already ahead of the schedule there. So let's just all bow our heads and we'll just speak to the author before we read the scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all your blessings on us. And Lord, we just pray that you just come speak to us tonight, Lord, and just give us the words that we have need of tonight, Lord Jesus. Just give us the words to speak, Lord. We just commit ourselves into your hands. And Lord Jesus, we see ourselves in the word. Lord Jesus, we see, just like Brother Ram tells that story of the little boy looking in the mirror. He looked in that mirror and said, hey, Mama, that's me. And we begin to look into the scripture, Lord. Sometimes we see our faults and our failures, Lord, our shortcomings. But Lord, we just want to plunge beneath that blood. Yeah. Lord, that you forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, Lord, our iniquities. Lord, you forgive us of all these things. Wash us clean, Lord. Lord, draw us closer to you, Lord. And Lord, those that couldn't be here tonight, Lord, Father, whichever the needs, those sick and the afflicted, Lord Jesus, we just pray that you be with them. Lord, those that are listening in, Lord, we just pray that you be a blessing to them tonight, Lord Jesus, wherever they are. Lord, we just commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Matthew 16 and verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And then beginning at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 through 11, it says, For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which he has given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated tonight. And just going to continue on a little on what we spoke on last time, about a month ago. It was something about God's building. And, you know, when you begin to look at these things, you know, God's building a church. You know, Brother Ram said that, you know, that it's his building. He's building, in one place he said, you know, he was building a tower. He's building a house. He's building a church. and you know, all these things that he's building, but he's building it according to his blueprint, according to his desire. And you know, Brother Branham said there in the stature of a perfect man, he said, Christ never sent me to build an organization. He said, Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be the powerhouse and the dwelling house, the dwelling place of the Spirit by his word. He said, by his word, see, build up the individual to that place, not build an organization to a greater denomination, but build the individual to sons and daughters of God. He said, that's the idea. See, he said, see, add to your faith virtue and to merchant knowledge. And he said, you're coming to a place. So we see God's building, and he has a blueprint for us to come to. And then he has this, and, you know, for us to build up, because we look at this, the building of God's building, he's building a church, he's building a body, he's building a bride. But, you know, the main part of that is each individual person has to be built up to that. And it's each individual person. And I was listening to somebody the other day, and they were talking about how, you know, the condition that everything has gotten into. Well, you know, the problem is if you get away from the very core of the foundation that a nation is built on, or as a family, and if you get away from the family, and the problem is when you get away from the core things that build up a nation, build up, you know, those foundations, they're all have been deteriorated, and they wonder why things have gotten in the condition they're in. Well, you know, the problem is there's not families anymore. You know, everybody, it just, you see these children, and they grow up, and, you know, they're just dragged from pillar to post. There's no kind of structure in the home. There's no kind of anything that they're brought up, you know. You know, they grow up on TikTok and these things, and that's the only kind of ideas that they have. And you know, there's nobody that's actually an example to them to follow, that they actually have something that helps them grow into the place that they need to be. You know, I mean, I was reading, and they were talking about how many children we see today, you know, they don't even go to church. They have no kind of moral structure, all of these things. And it's just like, well, you know, just whatever goes, goes. And they wonder why things are in the condition they're in today. It's because all of that has fallen away. And then they wonder why these kids grow up the way they do, and they have all these issues. And everybody, you know, they've got all these mental issues, and they have all these problems. And, you know, it's just like, well, here, we're just going to medicate you, and we're going to give you this, and we're going to give you that, and we have this, and we got to have a little safe space for you, and we got to have a rubber room, and we got to have all these other things, you know, for all of. And the problem is they've never been taught how to accept responsibility, how to grow up to be an adult. I mean, because, you know, like Brother Branham said, he said it's not juvenile delinquency that's the problem. He said it's the parent delinquency that's the problem. And if you've never reached that place where you know how to stand on your own feet and grow up and come to this place where you can, you know how to adapt to these things, and you, as you know, you know how to deal with these things, you know, because as Brother Wade has said many times, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, he was talking about, you know, we still have the same struggles. We still have the same problems. We're fighting the same devils, but you know, you go through justification and sanctification. You're still fighting the same battles. You're still fighting the same devils. And, you know, you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're birthed into the body. You know, you have the Holy Ghost with you. And you know what? Then every gun in hell, every devil is attacking you, because that's what he's supposed to do, because he's coming at you. But you know that the Holy Spirit has now come into your life to equip you to handle these situations, that you can grow up and you know how to handle these things. It's not that Mondays aren't going to come, and every problem that you're going to have, you're just going to keep fighting the same. You know, because when I was born again, you know, I woke up the next day and I still had the same battles that I had the day before. I still fought the same battles. Oh, I'm sorry. Slow down. I'm sorry. Take a 10-minute break. 10-second break. Whew. I forgot there was anybody. Oh, I'm sorry. Who's back there, Brother Luis? Sorry, Brother Luis. Well, anyway, now I try to remember where I was at. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost brings you to this place that you're able to handle these situations, you know how to deal with these things. Well, you know, that, because if you grow up just in the natural, you see, when I grew up, I've always told the story, and Dad said it never happened, but, you know, I always said that Dad told us that he wanted us to go outside because he said he didn't want to get blood all over the floor. And he said, that never happened. I was like, well, you know, it's who's, if you're on the receiving end, or are you the one on the giving end? I think things are different when you're on the receiving end of these things. My perception of things was different. But when you go through those things, you know, and it's like, you know, I went through all these traumatic experiences, and it taught me something. You know, I now have this psychological condition called respect for my elders. You know, I've come up with this. But you know, the problem is kids that don't have this, then, you know, they have no structure. There's no moral ground. And so if you never come to that place, how are you supposed to grow up to be productive or have any of these things? Because it's all like it. You don't have any of this. And it's the same way in the spiritual. If you don't have a good foundation to come up from, because if you're not following in the Word, if you're not growing in the Word, if you're not laying in the Word, then you know what? You don't have a foundation to build on. And, you know, I'm just me, and I just say things, and I just tell you I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings, but that's you know, I'm just gonna be me, and you know, but you know the problem is you see these people, and you know, bless their hearts, you see these people, and they've been around for so long, and you can preach to them and talk to them, and you can, you know, and they listen to the prophet, and I don't understand how you can listen and read the scripture and all these things, and they still battle these same things, and the problem is God laid it in the scripture. And it's still there in black and white. It has not changed. That God put in under the prophet's message, even before that, he's always had a ministry. He's had a fivefold ministry. The apostle Paul put it in the scripture. Jesus called disciples and sent them out to minister, to preach, and he set it in order. That there was always going to be pastors and shepherds. Even when Moses was there and he had the priesthood, there was a group of people that ministered to the people, that led the people in the right direction. Now, that didn't make them lordship. And, you know, I started working on a sermon some time back, and, you know, it's like, and I titled it, Lordship versus Servitude. And it's like, because the problem is everybody looks at it, because we get it all wrong. Because, you know, the thing is we're servants of the Lord. We're not lordship over people. You know, if you have a pastor is not somebody walking around, you know, because, you know, people have the same idea of God. You know, he just walks around with that 2x4 ready to whack you over the head. But, you know, it's to understand that there's somebody that's there to shepherd you, to lead you, to guide you, to get you to the place where you need to be. And sometimes the problem is it ruffles people's feathers. And sometimes people get upset about things. And you know, I've seen these people that, you know, and it's like, well, you know, they go to church. Well, they can't get past things that are in the past, and they ought to be past these things that's happened in the past, and they're still dealing with the things, and they can't get past. Well, you know, that's the thing, that the Holy Spirit is supposed to come to help us get over those things. Is that not what Paul said? He said, putting those things behind me. Now, there was a lot of things that he had to overcome in his life. Amen. There was things that he had to struggle with. Amen. Because, you know, how many times do you think that Paul woke up in jail and had to deal with the dark, damp place with the rats and the bugs. And he was down there. And that's when the devil liked to come by and talk to him about his hand in the death of all of the believers down through time. You think Stephen and all the rest of them, that he, you know, he was there and his blood was on their hands. And God began to talk to him and began to preach to him and show him the word. And he's trying to get the people to understand this is the grace of God. Amen. Here's the grace of God. Now, we're going to lay all those things in the past, laying them behind me. He said, I'm turning and I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling. Right. Now, that's the thing for us to do is to lay those things behind us and turn and go to the mark. There's a mark ahead of us. That's the way that God wants us to go. That he wants us to turn these things around. Go where you need to go. Go ahead. Get past these things. Because, and everybody says, well, I'm still dealing with these things. You know, it's the Holy Ghost. Because that's part of the plan is for you to come to this place. And really, listen, I've got a lot of things I got to deal with. But I'm going to press on. And you know what? And God put somebody in your pathway to lead you. And you know, and everybody's like, well, you know, they want a, you know, the pastor, they want somebody that's tall, short, slim, wide, muscular, straight hair, curly head. They want him to be eloquent and musical and all of, you know, all of the, and it's like, well, guess what? That person don't exist. And they want everybody that they want somebody to stand in the pulpit and, you know, whatever, they want them to say the right word so they don't get offended at any time they ever say anything. And that person don't exist. Because you know what? We're all human and we're all going to say things that you don't agree with. And the pastor's always got to make decisions. And like I say all the time, that every time the pastor has to make decisions, people are, well, why did he do that? Well, what? Well, you know what? You don't know all this stuff that he knows. Well, if you don't know all the information that he knows, then why are you questioning his decision? Because part of the problem is we don't pray for the pastor. Or we don't pray for the pastor. So everybody's like, you're pointing all the fingers at. Well, I'm going to point the fingers at me too. Because people, you see people and you pray for people and you see the reason and not just in this church, but I mean, there's churches all around the country. All around the world, and people are still battling the same thing. They're still going around the same mountain that they've been going around for years, and they haven't got any deliverance. And the problem is they can't get to the place. Listen, all you got to do is get to, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus. Whether nobody else goes, I'm going to follow Jesus. The thing is, I get up in the morning, and I'm going to follow Jesus. And if I fall, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to put it under the blood, and I'm going to press on. And I'm going to keep putting it on and just keep pressing on. Because you know what, at some point in time, you can get deliverance. But the problem is people get to the place that they just sit around, and they just want to wallow in their self-pity, and they wonder why the things don't happen. Well, the problem is you just got to keep going on, because one of these days, you're going to come up out of that valley. Why? Because I've seen it take place. Because you know what? I look at myself and you know, I look in the mirror sometimes and I realize I'm not where I ought to be, but I tell you one thing, I'm not where I used to be. Because I see where I've come from. And you know what? I've come up out of the valleys. And when you come up on the mountaintop, then you can say, I know where I've come from. I know where I was and where I'm at today. And you know what? I'm not going back to the same place where I used to be. And you know what? I'm sorry. Get this. Time. Slow down. Brother Luis, I'm going to wear you out tonight, brother. I'm sorry. I hadn't even got started yet. It's going on 8 o'clock. But I tell you what, I get so fired up sometimes, I got to let it out. Sometimes it's like fire shut up in your bones. You got to let it out. But, you know, I mean, you see these people and you wonder, and it's like you see these brothers and they have struggled and struggled and struggled. And, you know, they labor. And I'm talking about pastors, but I'm talking about the fivefold ministry. Laboring to help the people. And, you know, I was thinking about the other day. You know, you see these things where, like Brother Branham talking about seeing the preview of the bride. And you see these things. The preview of the church. We're going to see the preview of the church. And you preach and you preach and you preach. And it's like, and that's the best we can do. But see, the thing is, you've got to do your part. Because, you know, we want to cultivate these things and we want things to happen. But you know the thing, all you can do is go out to the, just like a farmer, he's got to go out there. You got to plow the field. You got to fertilize. You got to sow the seed. You got to put it in the ground. You got to cover it up. You got to water it. And after that, it's God's plan. It's God's time. Because God's got to do the work after that. Because it's God's law for it to work that way. I can go out there and I can stand over the top of it and yell at the seed, come up. And you know what? If I've sort of fertilized it and I've watered it but after that, you gotta wait. But if you've not plowed the field and if you've not sowed the seed, if you've not prepared the ground, then guess what? Don't expect the seed to come up. And when the seed begins to come up, if you don't ever get out there, and sometimes you got to get out there and start pulling the weeds. And you got to go out there. And sometimes the rain comes, praise God, you don't have to water. But sometimes, you know what? You got to get out there and water it yourself. But if we do the work, are we faithful in what God's called us to do? Our part of it. Because you know what? If we don't do what God's called us to do, and well, you know, I'm not a preacher, and I'm not a singer, and I'm not this. But you know what? You're a Christian. You're a believer. You know, have you done your part? And it's like, well, you know what? Don't expect, well, you know what? If we just go around and, well, you know what? If Brother Donnie could get right, then you know the church would be better off. Amen. And we just go around and start pointing fingers at people. Well, you know what? Because I look at other people and I can't point my finger at everybody else and say, well, if it's this person, that person, you know. Right. Well, you know, the problem is it's me. Right. You know, I've heard people go around and they say, well, do you think they got the Holy Ghost? Do you think that person's got the Holy Ghost? Did you see how they're acting? Did you hear what they said? Can you believe that? Can you believe a born again person actually said that? And I was like, well, before you ask that question, did you pray for them? And it's like, well, you know what? I'm not worried about them. I worry about myself. Am I born again? Am I the right kind of example? And if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, it's like, well, you know what? We got to get together, Brother Ryan, and we got to give prayer requests, and we got to talk about, and now everybody else would call it gossip, but it's not gossip. We're just doing prayer requests. Now, a lot of people would say that would be gossiping. Well, sometimes, you know what? There's nobody needs to know but you and God. You know, there was a song years ago about, you know, if you see me out doing something that you think is wrong, he said, go and tell Jesus on me. That was the name of the song. That man from Galilee, Don't tell another, not my sister or my brother, but go and tell Jesus on me. But you know, that's the thing you got to do. And you wonder why people don't see any growth. It's like, well, you know what? Well, the Bible says, and I'm just telling you what's on my heart. But you know, where the scripture talks about, you know, if you've got an offering to bring, you go do something. And it said, and you know your brother's got an ought against you. You need to go make that right. And you know what? People, it'd be easier pulling teeth than getting people to do things like that. And they wonder why that they have issues. It's like, why? Because the simple things that you could get out of your life. Oh, well, you know, I don't want anybody to know. Well, you know what? I want God to know. God already knows. But I want it under the blood. It's like, well, you know what? You can deal with it now, or you can deal with it later. But you know what? We're all going to give an account for everything that we've done. Whether it's good or not, because you know what, it's all going to be brought to the light. Amen. And so, do you want to take care of it, or is it something that you have a desire that you want to get rid of? Because sometimes people don't want to get rid of it. It's like, well, I'm just so afraid that, you know, somebody's going to find out. Well, you know what? It's sad that people have tried to hide things when they know it's something that they need to get rid of, and they try to hide it for so long, and then all of a sudden people find out about it, and it's 10 times worse because they've tried, instead of doing away with it. Then all of a sudden, things come out in the open, they find out, and everybody's like, well, you know, they tried to hide that. They'd have been better off just to go ahead and get it out in the open. When now's the time to get rid of these things. I was listening to a man the other day, and he's just a denominational preacher, but he was talking about, you know, he first got invited to go when he was doing these Bible studies and these devotionals. Well, next thing you know, they wanted him to start preaching for them. So occasionally he got to go to preach, and he was, you know, and he's like, well, you know, everybody just loved everything he had to do. But you know, the problem is that sooner or later, you get to preaching the gospel, and sooner or later, you're going to preach something somebody don't like. And all of a sudden, he got to preaching on something. And all of a sudden, they come to him and they was like, oh, we're not letting that out. We're not going to let, you know, we're not going to let anybody know, hear that. Well, he was like, well, okay, well, what's the problem? Oh, well, people got offended. Oh, okay, well, was there something that was wrong? No, people just got offended. Is it scriptural? Was something that was wrong scripturally? No. People just got offended. And he realized, you know what? Now's the time to go. Because, you know, you can only go so far, and when you're trying to help people, and all of a sudden you get to the place where, you know, now it's, you know, oh no, we're offended by that. Well, sometimes the problem is when we get offended by things, now's the time to get it out in the open. Because you hold on to things, just like sometimes when you say things to people, and you don't mean to, but you know what? Sometimes we say the wrong thing. Sometimes we say it in the wrong way. And you know, it's not that we were trying to be wrong about it, but sometimes things are said, and it's like, well, you know what? Instead of going back and saying, you know what? I didn't mean it that way. And I hope you don't take offense to it. But you know what? The truth is the truth. That's right. But you know, some people say, well, I didn't like the way you said that. And he's like, well, is it the truth? Well, I don't care if it's the truth or not. I like the way you said it. And they'll swell up like a bullfrog getting buckshot, and they'll hold on to this thing, and it's 10 years, 20 years. And they're still bound by this thing. It's like listening to the Hatfields and McCoys. You see these people fighting, and it's like, well, what are they fighting over? I don't know. I don't like them, and they don't like me. And we're still fighting. But what did the fight start over? We don't know. But we don't like them, and they don't like us. Okay. Well, where's the end? Well, we don't know, but we don't like them, they don't like us. And it just continues on and on and on, and there's no end to it. And nobody knows how it got started. But they still carry this grudge, and they don't even know how it got started. But they've got under some kind of influence of somebody, and next thing you know, they're carrying the same burden that somebody else is. They got the same devil somebody else has got. And they're still carrying around the same devil, and they wonder why they don't grow. Why the churches don't grow, why they don't see, and they wonder why their families are in the condition they're in. Why? Because they've got under these things, and when the Holy Ghost becomes and begins to preach to them about deliverance, instead of taking that and saying, you know what, that's for me. I need this deliverance. Then everybody comes to church with a great big pitchfork, and it's like, that's for you. That's for you. And instead of taking it, it's like, you know what? This belongs to me. What was that? Oh. But you know, that's mine. Because I want to be right. I want to be free. So you know, if I can take these things that God has, then I can start to grow up into the place that God wants us to be. Because you know, the thing is, we wonder why things are in the condition that they're in. Well, you know, if we don't go and follow the plan that God has for us, we're not going to grow. You can only go so far, and then you've reached this place, and then you're stopped. You're stunted because you can't grow beyond this point. And many times God comes by and tries to get us, listen, it's time for you to grow, and here's deliverance for you, and try to bring you out of these things. And it's like they go right back. And they struggle with the same thing. And God wants us to be delivered of these things. See, when God brings these things to you, when you sit, you've got to follow God's plan. You've got to grow beyond that. You've got to come out of where you were at and go where God wants you to go. You know, I was thinking about Moses. You know, when Moses was being taught by his mother that he was the deliverer, you know, here he got this in his mind that, hey, you know, I'm the deliverer. I'm going to deliver these people. But the problem is he never followed the plan of God. He never followed the plan of God. Yeah, he was the man that was called, but you know what? If he didn't follow the plan of God, it never worked. It never was going to bring it to the place where it needed to be. Because, you know, here he was, he was God called, and he was raised up to be this deliverer, and he knew what he was supposed to do. But you know what? There was a time and a place when God called him to come to that place, and, you know, and before he had to come to the place that God wanted him to be. And he's like, well, you know what? I'm the smartest man around. You know, I'm the second greatest man here in all of Egypt, and I'm so smart I can teach people, and I know all these things, and build all these great pyramids and all these great things. And you know what? Now I can do it in my own self because I'm so great that I can control all of this, and I can bring about deliverance to my people. And you know what? He ended up with a bunch of confusion. A bunch of fighting, a dead Egyptian, and nothing. He got nothing out of it that is exactly what he was supposed to get. And then he spent 40 years in Egypt and 40 years in the wilderness. On the backside of the desert, herding sheep with nothing. Brother Bram said he put Egypt in him 40 years, and it took 40 years to get it out of him, to beat it out of him. And then he's like, well, you know what? He didn't count himself worthy to do anything. He didn't think he could do anything. And then he's out there herding his father-in-law's sheep out in the middle of nowhere and thinking he's a failure and he's not going to do anything. When he gets to that place, then God comes down and begins to speak to him. In the midst of all of that, then the angel of the Lord comes down and begins, and he sees the pillar of fire in that burning bush, and he sees that thing on fire, and when he sees the fire burning in the bush and it's not being consumed, and then you know what? He could have just, well, you know what? I'm just, you know what? Just keep on going and just stay in the same place. And you know what? I'm just a failure, and I just, you know, everything that I've ever put my hands on has failed. And it's nothing. And you know, I'm just wallowing in my self-pity. And you know, I'm just going to keep doing this same thing. But you know what? There was something up inside of him that rose up. And he said, you know what? I'm going to turn aside. He said, I'm going to turn. And he said, I'm going to go and see what this is. Why is this bush being on fire, but it's not being consumed? And then when he began to turn aside to go to that, then all of a sudden, then the Lord began to speak to Moses and tell him, the place where you're standing is holy ground. Here you are. And he said, I've come down to speak to you, to tell you who you are. And I've heard the cry of my people. I've come down. I'm come down to speak to you to go do what you're supposed to do. Now, one time, he was all ready to go and do everything that God called him to do. And then he got to a place, well, you know, he didn't want to do anything. Well, I can't speak. You know, I'm not called to do any of this. You know, it's like, well, you know, I'm just back here. I'm just a failure. And you know what? Now he got to the place where God could use him. When God began to speak to him, you know what? He left all of that behind him. When God began to speak to him, he took the word of God that was spoken to him, and he received that. You know what? I'm because he said, well, I can't speak. You know, Aaron's going to go with you. I'm going to give you the signs that you're going to go down there. He said, because I want you to know, as I was with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, I'm with you. He said, because I want you to know that I am that I am. The same I am that was back there that created all things, that put everything in place. He said, that same I am is right here in this burning bush, is giving you the commission to go and do this. And you know what, then it was time for him to lay all these things aside, and then he began to walk in what God had called him to do. Amen. Then when he began to walk in that, then all of a sudden he got to the place where, you know, he didn't look at all of the things that were around him. 80 years old, with a wife and a kid, going down there. One man invasion, going in to fight. Oh, he didn't. It was not the kind of fight that everybody thought. It was God's invasion. It was the right kind of invasion that was coming in there. He went in and told Pharaoh, listen, the God of these people, the God that created all things, he's bringing these people out. He's heard the cry of his people. And he said, they're coming out. Well, who is God? Who is this God that you talk about? Well, he's the God that done all these things or whatever. No. When Moses went down to speak to Pharaoh, like, who is God? Who is this God you talk about? I am. When he took his commission, he realized that's who you are.
Amen.
He saw, I am that. That's me. That's my commission. And when he began to go down there, then, you know, it was God had called him to do that. To take on those things that were that looked impossible. But you know, everything that he done, he said, whatever the situation was, God had the answer for it. And all he had to do was listen to what God said, and God had the answer for him. And all he had to do is tell the people, listen, this is what we're going to do. God is bringing you out. And all you got to do is follow what God tells you to do. And listen, they're not going to let you go, but God's going to show his power. And you don't have to fight. All you got to do is what God tells you to do. Because they went down there, and it's like, listen, they think they have all their gods, and they think that they can't be defeated, and they have all these great wealth and all this great power. Well, you just stand still and watch God work. And God began to work, and then we've seen all through the plagues how God began to work and move all of their gods, all their deities. One by one, he began to overcome each one of those Egyptian gods and deities. Why? Because they, you know, the God of the Nile, they turned it to blood and all the different things and destroyed all their crops, all those things. But you know what? He was there and he protected the children of Israel. And they began to see the power of God work. And you see, here they are after being in bondage all those years and seeing all the death and all the destruction and everything that had taken place. And all of a sudden, here God began to work and showed them what he was going to do to bring them out and showed that he was moving on the scene for them. And here, all you got to do is follow what God tells you to do. When they've seen all that take place, then all of a sudden, here's the death angel passing by. When the death angel came through, now all you got to do is take this lamb and roast it and get ready to eat the unleavened bread and put your shoes on your feet, get your staff in your hand and get ready to leave. Take the blood, put it on the doorpost, then the lintel, get ready to go. Do all the things that God tells you to do. Well, you know what? It wasn't some great miraculous thing that they had to do. Because you know what? They've all roasted animals before. They've killed many animals before. It was a very common weed that they had to go put the door on the doorpost. It wasn't something that they had to go some great journey to get or anything. It was a common weed. Everything was right there. It was not some great big miracle, the thing that they had to do, but they just had to follow what God told them to do. It was just very simple, and all they had to do was go and roast the animal and get ready to leave. And it's the same thing. All you got to do is follow what God tells you to do, and you can get deliverance. But the problem is people don't want to follow just a simple plan that God has for you to follow these simple things, and you can get deliverance. Just follow what God tells you to do. How many times, Brother Branham, stand there and people say, well, you know, I have this spirit, you know, what was it, the stingy spirit and all these different things. What do you need to do? Well, do the opposite. How many times, you know, people come to Brother Branham and they have some kind of a dream or they have some kind of spirit on them and they're fighting this and everything like that. And the first thing Brother Branham would tell them, you know what? The devil's lying to you. God's trying to tell you that you're okay, but you're listening to the devil. The devil's sitting on your shoulder. What was it? The lady that was walking in the white sands? And her, and she's seen her son and daughter-in-law or whatever it was, and, you know, they're saying, and she was so worked up that he said, the devil's lying to you. The white sand shows that you're okay, but you got under the spirit of that devil telling you that everything's all, and you're getting all worked up, and he's working up your family. But what was it? God trying to tell you, listen, everything's okay. If you just follow what I tell you to do and put your trust in me, then you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but God gave us the power of love and of a sound mind. But all you got to do is follow what God said, then He'll bring you through. It's so simple. If we just trust in God and take what He had to say to us. And I ain't got nowhere on my notes. I'm just completely off everything. But I starting in a like rabbit trail. I'm off in some other field somewhere. But you know the thing is you follow what God has for you, what God gives you, what God tells you. And if you trust in Him, then you know He makes all things work out right. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. If we'll just follow what God has for us, if we just follow that blueprint, follow, and just follow that same way. Because if we want to get built up, then all we got to do is follow the plan. And as Brother Branham was talking about, you know, he said he's not building a wall, but he's building a building. And he said, we come to the place, well, sometimes we don't know when he's turning the corner. But you know, when he makes that turn, then all you got to do is follow him. And it's like, well, you know, we don't know why things happen the way they do. But you know what? You see these things, and it works out. We don't understand how things work. Why things happen the way they do, and we don't see how they all work together. But you know what? If you start out right, you'll finish right. As Brother Bram said, you know, you start out with the right foundation. If the foundation is right, when you build up, then everything goes on the foundation. Then if you start as Paul said, that wise master builder, he was following Christ, and as he was building and preaching the word and laying the word out, then you know what? As the church was building on that, what he had to say, it wasn't his own idea. But exactly the same thing when Brother Branham came and he picked that up, and they said, you know, well, they be judged by what Paul preached and all those things. And he said, well, I preach exactly what Paul preached. And he said, we're resting on that. Why? Because he went right back to the same foundation and began to build on the same thing that the apostles had, and he began to bring that up. And then all of a sudden, because he got to the place where he went right back to the same foundation, then he was able to carry on and preach his message and bring the truth that for our day. But you had to come right back to the foundation. And you and I, we come back to the foundation. If we start right, then we'll finish right. The foundation. You know, Brother Brown said, he was talking about the, a keystone. You know, he was talking about the keystone. He said the keystone was the cornerstone. And he said the chief cornerstone was the capstone. And he said it was the keystone, the same one that tied it all together. You know, when you begin to build up, like in an archway or something, you know, when you're building up and you come to those into those places and you wonder how all this is going to tie together and it don't look like it's going to fit. But you know what? If you've got a wise master builder, if you've got somebody that knows what they're doing. Years ago in North Carolina, they were two brothers that they were old way back when I was young. But you know, that's all they'd ever done their entire lives were masons. And it didn't matter where they were at on this house. One man could start in one spot, another man, he could start on the other spot. And you know, they could tie everything back together. When one tying it together, and they'd start in an archway, and one start on one side of this archway, and the other one start on the other side, and they start working it together. And everybody's like, well, how do they do that? They know what they're doing. They build that archway up, and it goes right in there, and that keystone fits right in there. It all matches up. It's like, well, how does all that work? It's like, well, I don't see how this is going to fit. I don't see how this is going to work out. But you know what? If you've got your confidence in the one, as Brother Bram said, the keystone, Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. Each part coming up. He's the capstone. He's going to bring you all the way through. It don't look like it's going to fit, and you wonder how things. Well, you know what? You just keep trusting in Him. You just keep following Jesus one step at a time. Because if you just follow Him, then you know what? He's going to lead you. He's going to show you. It's like, I don't have to try to figure it out. That's not my job. My job is to have faith in Him. I trust God. Then I trust what He has to say. Then you know what? He's going to bring somebody by my way to bring me to the place where I need to be. That I can't figure it out on my own. But you know what? God didn't call me to figure it out on my own. Because the problem is, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, we don't follow. We're just going to push play, and you know, we're not going to put any confidence in a fivefold ministry. Well, you know what? Then you just tear it out of your Bible. God put men in that position, and you know what? He's still using men. And you know what? And if you can't follow, then how do you trust God? How do you have faith in God if you can't put faith in your brothers and sisters? What did He say? How to do the greater works? What is it for us to do the greater works? To believe on them that God sent. And all of our human frailties and all of our problems and all of our issues. And you know what? And God still works through humanity. And you know what? And we overlook these things. And you know what? And God is leading us. I don't have my confidence in a man. I got my confidence in God. I got my confidence in a God that's in a man. Because you know what? That's what God started with. And you know what? God is the one that's leading. And you know, and because if you can trust God and see what God has done, then He's going to lead you. And you're going to see. But you know what? If you don't, then you get stuck in one spot and you're never going to grow. But you know, people always ask, you know, used to say, well, what's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to the church? You know what? This church was, I've said many times, this church was not built on a man. It was built on God. It was built on the Word. And you know what? And the Word is still here. The Word is still effective. The Word is still working. And so if the Word is still working, then you know what? The church is still growing and the church is still moving in the right direction. Then we're going to still keep on going. Because you know what? We didn't start out following a man. We started following Jesus Christ. Well, you know what? As long as we put Jesus Christ first and we let Him have the preeminence, and it's not our own ideas, but He has the preeminence and He's the one that's leading, and we still stand in our place that God called us to and our position, then you know what? We're going to overcome. We're going to grow to the place where we need to be, what God has called us to. How many believe that tonight? God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. Have the musicians come. Amen. I won't. Y'all might know the song better than I do, but I'm following Jesus one step at a time. I'm following Jesus one step at a time. Does anybody else know the words? Do you know the words? I'm following Jesus
one step at a time. I live for the moment in His love divine. Why think of tomorrow? Just live for today. I'm following Jesus each step of the way. pathway is narrow, but he leads me on. I walk in his shadow. My fears are all gone. My spirit grows stronger each moment, each day. For Jesus is leading each step of the way. I'm following Jesus one step at a time. I live for the moment in his love divine. Why think of tomorrow? Just live for today. I'm following Jesus each step of the way.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this night, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for calling us. Lord, for leading us every step of the way. Lord, you've shown the light in our, on our pathway for us to walk. Lord, it gets dark and dreary sometimes, but you're still leading us. Lord, we just thankful, Lord Jesus, that we can stand in your presence in that love divine. Lord, we just pray that we draw closer to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we can be what you'd have us be. I want to draw closer to you, Lord. I want to be more like you. As the prophet said, we've been invited to be molded into your image. Lord Jesus, mold us and make us. Lord, we thank you for the word that we've heard. Lord, that we don't have any fear. Lord, the devil comes and tries to put fear on us and doubt. Lord, to put confusion on us, but the word comes to bring us clarity, to bring us deliverance. And Lord, that's what we're looking for. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for a fivefold ministry, Lord, that stands and preaches the word of God. Lord, the winds may blow. Lord, every devil in hell can come. But Lord, we're standing full, fortified by your word. Lord, we're standing on that rock. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Lord, I pray for each one that's here tonight. Lord, the ones that are listening in, Lord. Father, whatever the needs may be, Lord, I pray that you go and touch them tonight, Lord. Lord, minister in a special way to each one. Father, for the ones that are sick and Lord, don't have a need, Lord, we know that you are the answer to it. Lord, I thank you for our pastor, Lord, that labors and, Lord, leading us. Lord, the battle gets hard, but you know, we're standing shoulder to shoulder. We're a unified body. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. As Brother Branham saw in the vision, Lord, don't let us get out of step, Lord Jesus, but let us keep walking in step with the word. Lord, as the prophet began to yell out, get back in line. Lord, it's not just a daily thing, it's an hourly thing. Every moment, every day. Lord, are we walking in the light as we should? Lord, are we doing the things that we ought to do? Lord, let us not be lacking at anything. Father, we don't want to give the devil a foothold in anything. Lord, that we can overcome. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus, that you just bless them tonight, Lord, as they've come to listen to this little messed up message tonight, Lord Jesus. But Lord, I just came to say what was on my heart tonight. Lord, just help us tonight. Lord, draw closer to you. Be what you'd have us be. Lord, we thank you for it. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. This thirsting of my
you tonight. You have anything? Amen. We just remember Brother Wade, Sister June traveling in the morning. Amen. Well, God bless each one of you tonight. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And just remember service on Sunday. We got two services on Sunday. Amen. Well, God bless each one of you. Let's just pray, be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we just want to say that we love you tonight, Father. Lord, because you first loved us, and Lord, you've done all these wonderful things for us, and we just can't praise you enough. And Father, as we leave tonight, Lord, I pray that you be with each one. Give them traveling mercies, Father. For the ones that will be traveling this week, Sister June, as they travel, Lord, I just pray that you keep your hand upon them, Lord. Bless the services. And, Lord, each one, and just, Lord, we're just looking forward to Sunday, Lord. Just bless the services, each one. Lord, we just commit ourselves into your hands, into your care. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.